Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. We are going to have Walk Through the Bible, New Testament, here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 4th, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come join us as we walk through the New Testament in a fun, packed, interactive way. For more details or to register, call 412-242-3255.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament.
And so this lets us know that Jesus Christ is God, despite the fact of what some religions will tell us, that he is a God. We looked at last week, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they go even as far as trying to manipulate the scripture and say that Jesus was a God. But we read last week that Jesus is God. And so when we think about messianic prophecy, and only God could fulfill messianic prophecy, that Jesus Christ is God. The third thing that we see is that messianic prophecy inspires worship in a great God who can record events in the present and make them come to pass in the future. Man, I tell you what, that should, you know, like the song we sang this morning, fall on your knees. Like when they saw the wise men came, the magi came, and they saw the child, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And so that should be what, when we think about messianic prophecy, when we think about the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of hundreds, well, I'm going to say over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament, we should bow down and worship God. We should say, God, you are an awesome God. God, you are powerful. God, you deserve all the praise. You deserve all the honor, and you deserve all the glory. Any God that can write something down and then make it come to pass, he deserves to be worshiped. So what is the importance of messianic prophecy? It shows us that a divine mind is behind the Old and New Testaments. It shows us and confirms the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And then it should cause us to fall on our face and worship him. We see what are some prophecies. And I tried to be Christmassy. So this first chart that I put up was really, or this first slide that I put up here, was actually, you put the second one up. All right, that was the first one I did right there, because that's in a book that I'm writing. And what I wanted to do was show these are 10 notable prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. All right, so I put these 10 right here. But let me draw your attention specifically to the next to the last one, where it says that he would be ridiculed and suffer a brutal death. That was prophesied in Isaiah 53, and then that was fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 27 through 50. And then in Psalm 16, 10, it said that he would rise from the dead, and that was fulfilled in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. But I wanted to be Christmassy, right? So I said, well, let me just pick the ones that refer to the birth of Christ, or that center around the birth of Christ. So that is why I developed this next chart. If you'll put that next one up, might be kind of hard to see, but we'll work through it. The first thing that it said is that the Messiah would be born of a woman, that he would come through the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we've already talked about that. And then we see the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1 and Galatians 4. Now, here goes an unbelievable prophecy right here. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It says by name where he's going to be born. Now, unless, you know, we grow up in a city where our family traditionally has grown up, you know, the chances are that we can say, well, you know, I believe that this child will be born in Pittsburgh. But, you know, we can't say that with absolute certainty because we never know. You know, a person might go into the military, something might happen. But here, this prophecy is so specific that it names the exact city where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem. Now, you know the thing that blows your mind? Is that his mother and father didn't even live in Bethlehem. They lived in Nazareth. So it seems like the scripture should have said that he would be born in Nazareth. But it said that he would be born in Bethlehem, the power of the word of God. It says that he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. How many people would actually have the audacity, have the gall to say that somebody would be born of a virgin? You've got to be an absolute fool to make a statement like that. But we see that even Joseph didn't believe when he heard that Mary was pregnant. He wasn't buying that. Joseph said, no, I ain't down with that. And the only way that he could be assured was an angel appeared. And the angel told him that which is in Mary is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And so even that came as a fulfillment of messianic prophecy. In Isaiah 7:14, it said that he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. The next one, you can skip over that. I actually put that next one down at the bottom. It says that the Messiah would be worshipped by the wise men. In Psalm 72, verses 10 and 11, it said that kings would come from the east and that they would bring him gifts and that they would pay him homage. And in Matthew chapter 2, and that we all read the Christmas story around this time, right? We see that where did these wise men come? They came from the east. And what did they do? They brought gifts and they worshiped him. Now, again, I always take the time to do a little teaching on that because we traditionally see three wise men. And that represents the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. So that's what, you know, I'm going to take that. That's why we have three wise men or three magi in the manger scenes or in the nativity scenes. But the fact of the matter is that there was an entourage that came. And there were kings, and they came with carts, and they came bearing all these gifts to give to the Messiah. And so when we think about, you know, Jesus being, and as a matter of fact, the other thing I'm going to say, and I know this is going to burst a lot of bubbles, but when these guys showed up, Jesus wasn't a baby anymore, right? He was a child, okay? So, you know, he wasn't that fresh baby in the manger. So you know, let's keep that in mind, too. But, you know, we, Pastor Glaze, too, we bought into the hype, right, you know? For the first year, I said that I wanted a nativity scene. I wasn't going to put up any lights or decorations on the outside of my house. My son used to do it when he was there, and I said, I'm not going to do it until I get a nativity scene. And so I got a nativity scene this year, right? Mary and Joseph and what? The little baby Jesus. All right, I'm trying to point people, right? Take their attention off of Santa Claus when they come by my house and look in my yard, you know, take their attention off of Santa Claus and put it on Jesus. Now, before you email me or before you write me a note, there's nothing wrong with having Santa Claus in your yard if that's what you want. If you want Santa Claus in your yard, you know, don't say Pastor Glaze said don't put a Santa Claus in your yard. I didn't say that. Let me let that go. I'm going to let that go. All right. So it says that he would be worshipped by wise men. It said that the Messiah would be a descendant of Judah, that he would come from the tribe of Judah. It said that in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, and that was fulfilled in the New Testament. Now, here goes one that is not one that we want to celebrate, but it said that there would be massive bloodshed because of the Messiah. Why? Because what did Herod do? When Herod found out that Jesus was born, he wanted to have him killed. And so what did he do? He killed all the children around Jesus' age. And so there was massive bloodshed. And the sad thing is that Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15 predicted that, and it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. So, I mean, just these few prophecies right here are amazing when we consider the fulfillment of them. So this is messianic prophecy. Let me share this with you, then I'm going to be done. I know we have a lot going on this morning. But people object to Christ being the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. And let me give you four objections that they use and show you how to answer these objections. The first objection to messianic prophecy, now remember, messianic means Messiah. Messiah is the one who anointed one who was prophesied in the Old Testament. Remember that. And so prophecy means that these messianic writings foretold about a person who would come. So I want us to be clear on what messianic prophecy was, and that Jesus was the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. Number one, somebody will say, isn't it possible for someone to write down these things during or after the time of Christ, the time Christ lived on this earth, and pretend that they were written earlier? So, you know, messianic prophecy is so powerful that people try to explain it away any way they can. So somebody will say, well, somebody just looked at the life of Jesus, and then they went and plugged these things in the Old Testament, so and said that Jesus was the fulfillment of them. Now, that sounds pretty good until you consider the fact that the canon of the Old Testament was completed 300 years before Jesus came. 300 years before Jesus was born, the Old Testament canon was done, and everything in it was already written. So therefore, nobody could go back and plug in anything. The second objection that's asked is this, or that's posed, isn't it possible that someone other than Jesus could have fulfilled these prophecies? Like I said earlier, there were many people who claimed to be Jesus back in this day. And so isn't it possible that somebody else could have fulfilled these prophecies? Well, there was a guy, and I don't know where he found the time to figure this out. His name is Peter Stoner. And he said that somebody fulfilling just eight prophecies, if you'll go to that next slide, somebody fulfilling just eight prophecies, it's like one, there you go right there. The chance that one man could fulfill eight of these prophecies is one, and I'm not a mathematician, so you know maybe somebody can holler out if you know what that number is. I should have figured it out before I came. What, 100 millions? 100 trillion. Okay, all right. See, we have some math scholars here. I should have figured it out before I came. But I mean, it's unbelievable to think that just eight prophecies, if somebody fulfilled just eight prophecies, it was one in 100 trillion. Okay? And so to help us put our mind around it, what Stoner said, if you take silver dollars and you lay them across the whole state of Texas, and they're 2 feet deep. Now, Texas, just think. I remember I went to drive my son. He was going to Arizona, and I helped him drive out there to Arizona. And we drove across Texas. Now, I don't know if you ever drove across Texas, but it seemed like we drove across Texas all day. That's a long ride. And this guy was 2 days. 2 days, I believe it. It was a long ride. And so this guy says if you take quarters and you stack them 2 feet deep across the whole state of Texas, and then you mark one, and if it were possible just to mix them up all together, and then you put somebody there and you blindfold them, and you tell them on the first attempt, go pick up the quarter or the coin that was marked, and them doing it, he said, that's the chance of one person fulfilling eight of these prophecies. Unbelievable. So when people say, well, couldn't somebody else have fulfilled that prophecy? I think is highly unlikely. But now let me throw up this next one. We're going to see how many scholars we have in here. He figured out for somebody to fulfill 48 prophecies, he said that the chance would be 1 to the 157th, whatever. So that's one with all those zeros behind it. Now, this again, if you, I thought I referenced it in his book, but if you want the reference, I'll give it to you. That's a whole lot of zeros. For 48 prophecies, for one man to fulfill just 48 of these prophecies. And we know that Jesus fulfilled over 100 of these prophecies. The power of that little baby that would be lying there in the manger. The power of messianic prophecy. Number three, isn't it possible that the gospel writers constructed their writings to match up with some of the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament? So what they're saying here, well, isn't it possible that when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote their gospels, isn't it possible that they went back and peeped in the Old Testament, read some of these prophecies, and just wrote them in there about Jesus? Now, all you have to do, and I'm going to answer this question this way, all you have to do is read the New Testament, and you find that there was a group of people, as a matter of fact, there was more than one group of people that was out to get Jesus. I mean, they was out to get him so much that what did they do? They crucified him. And so there were people that were just waiting for Jesus to make a wrong. There were people that studied the life of Jesus, waiting for him to make a wrong move so that they could jump on him. All right? Now let me ask you this question. Do you think that these same folk, they were reading these books that these guys wrote, that these same people that if they were putting stuff in there that Jesus didn't do, don't you think that they would have said, hey, look, man, you're not being honest. You know, there would have been the loudest outroar of that day. There would have been books that would have been written about how the disciples were doing this. And you go back and during the first century, you don't read any such thing. You don't read anything about anybody who questioned the works of the disciples. There was a lot of people writing. Now, when you get into the 300, 400 AD, that's when people started writing, doubting these things. But in the first century, there are no writings doubting it. Why is that? Because they knew that what the disciples recorded was true. So they didn't come along at some later time and put these things in their writings. And then, number four. Again, you know, see, it's amazing to me the lengths that people go to try to discredit Jesus Christ. That's why I've done this whole series to help us understand that there are people who have their guns loaded toward Christianity. And they are trying everything in their power to blow it apart. They are trying they hit it from every angle. Every message that I've preached this from this fall up until today, I've showed you how somebody has just trying to blow up Jesus Christ and blow up Christianity. Because they know if they can do that, then you know they'll be able to look at a lot of individuals who have based their faith on a lie. But praise God, the more they try, the more things are confirmed. The more they try, God allows archaeologists over in the Holy Land to dig up another artifact that only proved. You know, they said that there were cities in the Old Testament that never existed. And archaeologists go, they dig up, and they find remnants and artifacts of the cities. They said that David never existed. The critics say that David in the Old Testament, remember David who slew Goliath, David who was a king? They say that he never existed until they found an artifact with an inscription, David, king of Jerusalem. So it's unbelievable. But yet and still, you know, these people out here trying to shoot down Christianity. And so here goes one that they say right here. And to me, this one is absolutely ridiculous. Isn't it possible for Jesus to have deliberately fulfilled these prophecies? And the answer to that is, yeah. It would be a strong possibility if we just considered the prophecies such as he would teach parables. Jesus would say, well, you know, it says in the Old Testament that I'm going to teach parables, so you know what? Let me teach parables. It says in the Old Testament that I would intercede for people. So let me intercede for people. It even says in the Old Testament that I'm going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Let me ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. So yeah, but now this is where this theory begins to break down, because how could Jesus determine if he was going to be born of a virgin? How could Jesus determine that he was going to be crucified and when he was going to be crucified? And most of all, how could Jesus determine that he was going to rise from the dead? So we look at these arguments and these attacks, and we see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of all these things in the Old Testament. And I've been doing the so what factor. So what, Pastor Glaze? So what does that mean to me? Well, as I close and as the young people come today, the so what factor is this. Is that if this book writes over 100 prophecies about a soon coming Messiah, and we can read in the New Testament the fulfillment of many of those prophecies, that should cause us to fall in love with this book. That should cause us to realize that this is a book that is from the very breath of God. That this is a God-breathed, God-ordained book. And that I will read this book and allow it to guide me in my life every day. I'm not looking for the horoscope. Oh, yeah. I'm not looking whether I'm a Aries or a Virgo or Taurus. The only sign I have is a lamb. Call me a lamb. If you want to read my horoscope, look in here. You want to read my horoscope, look in here. And just the power of messianic prophecy should cause us to love this book, to read this book, and to follow this book. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who said that he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. And that when he met with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, how he opened up the law and the prophets, and he explained everything in the Old Testament and said how he was the fulfillment of it. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to realize that we have your word, and it's a miraculous word, and that we would submit our lives to your word. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin, we ask that on this second Sunday of Advent that they might come and, Lord, give their life to Christ. Father, if there's somebody here today that's looking for a church home and this is the place where you have led them, then we pray that you would minister to their spirit, Lord, and bring them forth as we give the invitation today. And so, Lord, we commit this invitation to you. And we pray that you might be lifted up and that you might be glorified.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Truth or Coincidence: Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Truth or Coincidence, Jesus is the Messiah who was prophesied in the Old Testament. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.